Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. This is your weekly fan team video. So if you're here for official Premier League stuff, probably not the video for you. If you're playing fan team or you're interested in playing fan team, then you come to the right place. I am joined by last year's winner, as always, it's Mr. Josh Waldridge. How are you, Josh?
Hello, as I'm good. How about you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Yeah, my camera's working. For anyone who's been following my streams over the last couple of days, it's been a bit of a nightmare, Josh. I had that big deadline stream planned on Tuesday, and went to put my camera on, wasn't working. Went to put my mic on, wasn't working. Nothing was working. Had to order a new like gizmo thing to get the camera working. Fix the mic. You know, we're back just for you, mate.
Yeah, I've been hearing about all this, mate. Hopefully, like, you don't lose all your followers, you know what I mean, as a result of this disaster this week, but I'm sure you'll be okay.
Well, I've already got FF Scoped in the chat, as is a camera back. That's a shame. Yes, thank you. Been waiting for that and how quickly that would be. Had people saying that my avatar that I had was better than my face. You know, it's fair enough, but don't need to say it. I've got an itchy nose as well.
No comment. That's from it. Me, yeah, on that one. I was going to say, but I haven't seen the avatar yet, actually, so maybe I'll have to just reserve judgment, I think.
As my Simpsons one. Nothing too exciting. So we've got a bit of a casual one planned today. I mean, normally, you know, Josh and I are full of, you know, heavy research, stats, all of that, but we've thrown that all in its head this week. We're just going to kind of wing it as we go. There's no weekly monster this week, so I thought, you know, given that it's just past the halfway point, we could just have a look back at how we've got on over the last few weeks, how we've got on this season. It's my first year playing fan team properly, so I thought I'd give my thoughts about the game and how it differs to FPL and that kind of thing. Obviously, you won it last year, so you're a bit more experienced than I am. And I also thought we'd have a look at these daily showdowns as well, because I think with the monsters kind of, you know, difficult to you know, a monster gets cancelled basically if a game gets postponed. So I think a lot of people are flocking to these daily showdowns a lot more. I've been playing them the last few games as well. I came eighth on the one last night for the WCOFF ticket. Needed top five, came eighth.
Bad luck, mate. It's bad luck, mate. I did have a look at your team in the lobby, actually. I think I was about 40th, so I wasn't very close. But I did notice you were just off the post.
I know. First time I've ever been in the, you know, the top 10 on the lobby. But yeah, it was quite fun. It is stressful, though, isn't it? Because you just know there's like, it's such an obvious combination when you look at it. It was like Foden captain, De Bruyne vice, and then what, like Cancelo and Diaz and
keeper, like, I think,
okay. Or yeah, and Edison, and that's it. And you look at it, you think, oh yeah, that's really obvious. Like, I should definitely have done that. I think if I'd captained, I had Vice on Cancelo rather than De Bruyne, I would have got into top five.
Yeah, as you can imagine, the margin's just so fine on these things, because it's just one player or one. Mm. Even you might even have the same five players. It's just the vice captain difference, for example. So yeah, they're very stressful, and I would recommend like only checking at full time, maybe like after all the points have been decided and everything, because you might lose it on like someone getting a 90 minute bonus or something, like compared to your player, which is just brutal for like such big money. So yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And because Lynn was looking at it, she messaged me like, oh, you just need a Cancelo shot on target to get into the ticket. I was like, oh, I wish I didn't know that. So I watched the last like 10 minutes hoping for a shot, but didn't get one, unfortunately. Hi everyone in chat, we've got 57 people watching. If you're enjoying this, like the stream, subscribe, we do these every week. Any questions you've got for Josh or I, chuck them in the chat as well, and we'll answer kind of as we go. Let's just talk about the two things that are going on then that we're going to touch on. Obviously, we're going to talk about the main game. The majority of this stream is going to be about that. We're also going to touch on the 7K prize pool for the Man United Burnley game. This is the daily showdown that we're talking about. £12.60 buy-in. Only 19 people entered so far. I imagine that's going to rise before tonight. I'll stick a team in for that, I think. Although it's hard to predict. I mean, this is the kind of thing, like, we're going to talk about it in more detail later, but I don't really know what to do. If I'm going to enter one team, it's tempted to go for Burnley, you know, given that how United were against Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a little bit eagle-eyed, you'll have seen I've got a few teams in there already in the lobby. So, yeah, I think you either go all of one or all of the other is the most common strategy, probably. So, There's nothing wrong with five Burnley tonight, I don't think, if you fancy like United to have another shaky game.
£12.60 to pay for five Burnley players in your daily showdown match. That is.
I don't know. Maybe just try with the £1.68, then the €2 one. If you just want to dip your toe in with the five Burnley, but yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll come to that in a bit. Second chance game as well. Don't forget to enter into that. It's creeping up on us. 13th of January, was it? 14th, one of those days. But yes, free to play. So even if you haven't got a fan team account, you just need to make one and you can enter that for free. £20,000 first place prize. So get involved in that. Right, let's come back to the main game, the £1 million game. The one you won, as I will keep drumming into everyone's minds. We're doing all right. I'm doing all right. I'm quite happy. I've got my best team, which is actually my main team. So this was the one that, when I set it up, I was like, this is one I'm going to kind of take most seriously. Is up to 1185 with Ronaldo captain. I had Ramsdale and Foss. I didn't make a goalkeeper change. I probably should have done, but I didn't. If we want to be completely honest, I missed the deadline because I was doing the deadline stream. I hate to admit that kind of thing. That's such a casual, but I did miss the deadline. But my I had checked my team and I thought it looks all right anyway because I had 10 out, sort of out for players. Trent, Rudiger, Cancelo, James. Rudiger concedes in the last minute. James goes off with a suspected hamstring injury. We'll talk about him in a sec. Son, I had in Foden, Jota, Bowen. So Foden and Bowen came in there. Dennis, I had. Only had got Dennis because I couldn't afford King a few weeks ago. That's paid off well, although he's going off to AFCON now, we imagine. And then Ronaldo's in there. And on my bench, Foster, Lacazette, Mankio and Saka. I'm quite happy. I think my team's pretty well set up. I've got my goalkeeper coming back this week. It's James, isn't it? It's Reece James. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, I think it's very likely he's going to be out for a significant amount of time. What replacements are you looking at?
Well, I mean, you've got the Liverpool, regardless of even if it's like a 3-week thing, you've got like the Liverpool game this week. Then they've got two fixtures and they blank twice. They also don't double. So like it just has to be a sell, doesn't it? I mean, I don't think it's even a debate. And by the way, I do think he's going to be out for quite a while from how it looked and what the reports are. So I like the look of the likes of like a Man United defender or a Tottenham defender. I think Reguilón's still a really good shout. They're going to have doubles. So a Man United, like, I think that's probably the way to go. Or an extra Man City defender. If you wanted to have the third sort of Man City player, I think is the other way to go. So I think there's plenty of options and it sort of just depends on how news comes out later this week, really, I think. But definitely one of those, I think.
I think Reguilón's the obvious replacement for me. I think he is in my FPL team as well. I really liked the look of him in that Southampton game. I know he got 0 points, but I was talking to yesterday about it. Gianni. It's just because he's been raving about him for ages, but he's looking a bit like Alonso did back in those early stages where he gets the ball and he passes it and he's not going back, he's going forward, getting into the penalty area, touching the penalty area, shots. I think he's going to get a big haul at some point. I've been really, really impressed with him.
It's a proper proper wing back role as well. It's a back five, you know what I mean? Like he's definitely got the most license to go forward as well. I'm not sure Conte loves Emerson Royale that much. He keeps subbing him off like every single game. Mm. So I think Reguilón's definitely the man to have from that team for sure, in out of the defensive assets.
Yeah, I mean, Reguilón himself gets subbed a fair bit. I think it's a very demanding position for those players to play. So I think the training has obviously increased, the workload's increased a hell of a lot since Nuno. And if you look at the amount of distance covered as well, I think was some ridiculous stat, like the average distance covered by Spurs players had doubled or something under Conte compared to Nuno.
I also noticed Conte's a lot more like pragmatic and risk averse. So like whenever there've been two or three in a look, Kane and Son have gone off every single time. And that never happened in either of the previous regimes. Like Kane just played 90 every single game. So we're definitely seeing something a bit different here. But as you'll have noticed at the weekend, obviously they were in a 1-1. Kane and Son played every minute, obviously, as you would expect. So I think he's gonna like rest his players in very good moments, and we're not going to sort of see Kane on the pitch when it's 4-0 or whatever, I don't think. So
no.
It's going to be an interesting one to watch, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Kane has always been this 90-minute guaranteed person, and in fan team, that's always suited him down to the ground because he gets those extra points. But yeah, if he's going to start getting subbed, and same with Son, maybe it makes them a little bit less attractive. But I think going forward, they're both good, right?
Yeah, and the other point to that is if they're 3-0 up, Kane and Son are both going to have scored probably. So like in a 3-0 for Tottenham, I just can't see where else the goals would come from. So you might not get the 90, but if they are 3-0 up, at least you'll have got an attack in return, you'd imagine. So I think they're really good picks.
Someone just asked in the chat, they're interested to know what my United team looks like. It's currently 35K in the world out of 37,000 players. Yeah, that is rubbish, isn't it? That is really bad. It had Fernandes and Ronaldo, and it's got Van de Beek in it for some reason. I can't remember why I put him in. That sums it up. It also had no Salah, so I never had Salah on that team. Because we were talking at the start, weren't we? We thought Mane for a bit cheaper might be able to cover him. So I made a couple of teams without Salah and went with Mane, and it's just obviously it's been completely terrible. Same with my City team as well, down there. It's like 31K. As well. I also picked the wrong players. I think I went for Gundogan, Bernardo Silva and someone else who haven't been doing very well. To be honest, when my teams that are like 25K and under, I don't even really bother with anymore. I mean, what do you think? If you've got a team around that mark, can you see any way in which you can pull that up into the payout positions?
I think I agree with that line you set. I think anything below 25K now, I would just be focusing on trying to win the highest weekly prize, which is like, it's a way of like being able to carry on playing on, I think. So you're not going to cash with those teams, I don't think. You're not going to get up to the top 5,000, but there's like a prize for like the top 10 highest game weeks by the end of the season. So with those teams that are really low, you can just pick wild triple ups and stuff and make weird captains and try and like hit one of the 150 point game weeks or something. Yeah.
Does that not include hits then?
It doesn't include hits, and double game weeks aren't considered. So like you can't win the prize in a double game week. And if you take a minus 80, it doesn't count against your score. So it keeps people playing with those lower teams, as you mentioned.
I didn't even know about that. See, this is why
otherwise, they're just dead teams, aren't they? Like you say,
absolutely.
Like
it's
just, you just wouldn't carry on. So yeah, just go for that sort of thing. Pick triple Burnley defense or something. I don't know. And just try and hit something weird one week. But yeah.
So I can take those two teams that are like 30+K, turn them into just weekly attempts to try and be the best.
Exactly, like mate. Yeah, exactly.
Really nice. Really nice. George Mars says, can Josh talk more about his strategy with showdowns? Who do you pick for tonight's game? Absolutely. We're going to come on to that at the end of the stream. Josh can talk a bit more about that. Although, you know, I came eighth. You know, I'm no slouch. I mean, I am.
I just burst out laughing. So yeah, go.
Oh dear. What else have I got going on in my team? I had a good week. I mean, Son, Foden and Bowen have done well for me, and Dennis obviously, and with Ronaldo captain tonight, I feel like I'm in a pretty good place going forward. My main team differential is doing all right, 4k. Basically, that's very similar to my main team. I just, if I'm making one transfer, I might go with someone else, but looking at it, it's pretty, if basically if I'm 50-50 on something, I'll just go, you know, both ways, which is why I like having the two teams. So it's a very similar team. I went silver on this instead of Foden, which is why it's not doing so well. I've got Kane, Ronaldo and Son in this one as well. So with the Watford game coming up, I think that team could actually push on. And yeah, if I can get two teams in the top 1K, I'll be really happy with that.
So that yes, nice. Simon Thompson just asked a question in the chat to me. Any thoughts on when you might diverge teams where you have multiple entries the same? So as people probably know, I think I've got like 5 duplicates of like every team I've entered, basically. And the reason for doing that is exactly like Simon said. So I can sort of split them if they're doing really well. So if my teams aren't doing very well, I'll just leave them all as one bulk group to the end of the season and try and get them in cash or whatever it is I'm trying to get. But if I've got 5 really near the top or like in the top sort of 100 or 200, I'll probably split them with like, I'd say no more than 2 game weeks to go. So I would definitely do it right at the end. And maybe in the last game week, I would probably just pick 5 different captains, for example, and just try and hit something wild to like really fly up from like, if I was in 200th, try and get one into the top 40, for example, or something like that. So that's what I'd do, Simon. I really wouldn't split them till right at the end. So last 2 or 3 weeks at the earliest, I'd say.
That's really nice. Yeah, that's really good advice. It puts you in, if you've got a team, you know, near the, is that what you did last year or was that? No,
I just fluked it last year, mate. I just had single entries of every team. But yeah, this year, the reason why I did it this year is because I noticed some of the really good players from last year had sort of 5 duplicates of the same team. And then I was sort of talking to a few of them about why they did that. And yeah, I'm just doing the same now because I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's have a look at your teams. So like you said, you've got 5 teams all doing well. Out of your 5 teams, the lowest one is 6K, which is pretty damn good. You've got your team 1 with 5 entries is in the top 1K. Then you've got one top 2.5. You know, you're really strong. You look at the payouts you've got for these as well. And, you know, you've got some good money in theory coming in. Yeah, you must be delighted with this. You're in a really strong position.
Yeah, and just for full, like, to be completely honest with people, like, I've got 13 in total, but I've now got 8 of them or 9 of them in the top 10K. So I'm really, really happy with that. Like, it's really progressing really nicely. I think my lowest one showing is like 6.1K. Is that right? Something like that. I've also got one at like 6.3K, 7.5K. So like, they're all really gradually coming up, which I'm really happy with. Yeah, as you say, I played my wild card on 8 out of 13 of them in week 19, I think. So like the 1 week before you possibly could play it at the latest. And it's safe to say it's worked really well over the last few weeks. While other people are taking hits, I actually rolled my transfer on all my teams last week. So it was like a massive, I think that's a massive advantage going into this week as well, for example. So I've got triple Spurs, I've got triple United. I just think it's in a really good place compared to like what other people will be wanting to have. I think it'll be kind of similar to what I've got. So, and with 2 free transfers as well, I can make 2 more moves, like such as I've got my eye on Madison, for example. I think now that he's fit, I think that could be a great move. And there's a few other, I kind of like Rafinha again now, which I guarantee no one will have after he's blank for the last 2 weeks. So after he hasn't had a fixture. So I'm just looking at things like that to try and get ahead of the curve again, I think.
Well, your team, just for the benefit of anyone listening on the audio version, is double United defence, De Gea and Maguire, which is bold, I've got to say.
We'll see after tonight, won't we, I think, yeah.
Lynn's got De Gea and Dalot in her FPL team, and yeah, she was not too happy when Sir Maximan scored that goal. Trent, Cancelo, Reguilon, Son, Jota, Bowen, Kane, Tony, and Ronaldo. Ivan Tony, he's your Ward-Prowse this year, isn't he? You love him.
Well, I wish I had Ward-Prowse the last few weeks. Actually, he's been absolutely unbelievable. But typically, I wild carded him out obviously before he went on. I think he's got 3 attacking returns in the last 2 weeks, but. Yeah, I'm really happy with Tony still. He's on penalties. He gets 90 minutes. He didn't look great last night, but really tough fixture. So I'm hoping he sort of just keeps ticking along for quite a cheap price. I think he's 6.2 or something. So as long as he keeps getting the 90 minutes and a few goals, he'll more than pay off that price, I think. Yeah, and then on the bench, I think on this team, I've actually got Saka as well. So that's another decent player, you know what I mean, who could come into the 11. So I'm really, really happy with this team, to be honest.
Yep.
And Ronaldo captain to go the same as you. So
absolutely.
Hoping he can run riot tonight and we can fly up, mate, to be honest, even higher than where we've got to.
No City mids?
Again, it's an option. I wouldn't sell any of the three showing on the pitch, for example. So there's no way I'm selling Jota, Bowen or Son. But like I say, I think I've got Saka and I think Cucurella I've got actually as my fifth midfielder. As he's been doing really well. He got an assist last night as well. Mm. He's like a 4.5 mid who plays 90 minutes every single game. I know he plays left back for you or it's left back, isn't it? Yeah. But he's a midfielder on the game, so he gets those 90 minute points, which is a big thing for fan team. So yeah, I'm more than happy to have him in my team as well, I think.
Because this is similar to the Dallas thing that we talked about at the start of the season, wasn't it? Where you actually said Dallas would have got more points if he'd been classified as a mid than he would have done as a defender on fan team, which blew my mind and blew everyone else's mind. Is Cucurella in that similar mould then?
I think it's slightly different because I do genuinely believe you're a better team defensively than Leeds are. So you probably will get like one or two more clean sheets, which just tilt it the other way. But like Cucurella gets 1 point for a clean sheet every game at least. So it's only minus three. And then given that he gets the 90 minutes, that becomes minus two every time. And then every game where you don't keep a clean sheet, he just prints the extra point on the defenders. Yeah, so it's quite an interesting one. He's not someone who sort of has a lot of shots on target, so that's not really affected by the positional change. So I think he's all right. I mean, he's going to get assists, isn't he? Playing as sort of as an advanced fullback like he is. So I like him as a pick, to be honest, even as a midfielder.
I guess the issue is he takes up a midfielder spot, which, as we talk about, you've got Son, Jota, Bowen, you've got Man City mids. Salah obviously has been amazing and not there. But if you're looking for someone cheap who could just come in and do a job for you, a little bit like Dallas did for us last season, then he's a good pick. We've got a few people talk about Maddison in the chat. Simon Thompson says Maddison came off injured against Liverpool. Nuclear Atoms says that he's had Maddison go involved. I mean, I really want Maddison. Really, really, really want Maddison. Everyone knows my opinion on Maddison. I think he's class and he's been unbelievably good this last month or so. I mean, Rodgers has said he's fine.
Rodgers said quote, he's fine, yeah.
Rodgers quote, they asked him, how is Maddison and how is Vardy? And he said, James is fine. Vardy's looks like it could be a bit more problematic. Which is interesting. I don't really know what to do with that because he didn't look fine.
I was almost pivoting to Tielemans, mate. I was pretty sure I was going to get Tielemans now because Tielemans gets 90 minutes. He's going to be on penalties if Vardy's out, which is an amazing thing as well. That's like really quite significant. But
well, it'll take him over Maddison anyway.
Well, that's what I mean. But if Madison's fit, I prefer Madison, even though he doesn't have penalties.
I see,
He's just looked amazing in the last month. I mean, I would say he's been close to the best player in the league in the last month, and that is an insane thing to say. But with Salah dropping off slightly, Madison has been getting like sort of 2-3 attacking returns in multiple games in the last sort of month. So I'm really excited to own him, to be honest. And if I was wildcarding, I would definitely have him on as one of the first names in the midfield, I think.
If we get no news about Maddison between now and the deadline, would you bring him in? Purely given those comments from Rodgers.
I think that's going to be my transfer. I think I'm going to do Saka to Maddison as it stands, because he said he's fine. He's in the form of his life. They're playing Norwich at home. I just can't see a more perfect storm, really. They've also got games in hand, by the way, so they're likely to be one of the teams who has doubles over the next few weeks. We haven't had any news on that yet, but the fact that they've got games in hand means that he will have doubles at some point, you know what I mean? So it's nice to be ahead of the curve in that regard as well, I think.
Wing L asks about Tielemans though, because I really like Tielemans. I did an article for Scout a little while ago where I was looking at the difference in Tielemans this year compared to last year. I mean, he looks well on course to smash his best output for goals and assists in the league. He's definitely playing more advanced this season. Having his minutes per shot is like half that it was last season. His conversions up. He's looking a real player. They're looking to get him in those dangerous areas a lot more. And they can't. I mean, I still can't believe they kept a clean sheet against Liverpool. Like, it's just so ridiculous. But I don't think that's going to be a theme that continues. I still think they're going to be vulnerable. I think they were lucky that Mane just completely forgot how to shoot for large parts of that game. So they're going to need to score goals. So I think one of Mane or one of Madison or Tielemans is. I think we've got to get one with the next two games coming up and doubles.
I think they're fantastic, mate. And I think, I mean, on FPL, for example, I'm considering playing my wild card, and I've actually got both of them in the midfield on my wild card at the moment, Madison and Tielemans, because with the doubles in mind, with the next two fixtures in mind, like if I had a team on fan team already with Madison, I wouldn't think twice about getting Tielemans as well. I think that's like a really nice thing to do. And let's face it, not many people are going to have that double up. So it could be a really good way to get some immediate like returns with Norwich at home this weekend.
I really like that, actually. Going forward, going with the double Leicester mids, you know, try and target these two games and you might get some extra doubles and be able to hold them kind of longer term as well. So, yeah, really nice. Maheb asks if we're going to discuss Fantasy Premier League this stream. No, this is a fan team only stream. I mean, a lot of the stuff we're talking about very much correlates with FPL. It's just certain differences like the appearance points and obviously the lack of bonus, which I think has been the biggest thing for me playing fan team for the first time, not having that bonus points system. I've got to be honest, I think I quite like it. I struggle a little bit with looking at the players and they've got like 12.7, 7.4. You know, I think I do like the kind of rounder numbers, but I don't miss the bonus points. It's... I get so frustrated with it so often on FPL. You know, it's better than it was, like with Man in the Stand. At least there's some logic to it. But, I mean, players get punished so much, don't they, on FPL for things like shots off target and failed dribbles and stuff. I mean, Salah historically has always struggled to be in the bonus. He's often needed two goals to get anything.
Yeah, I mean, I like how you can just check your... At full time of the games, you can check your team on fan team and you know the points are accurate and they're not going to change, really. Like, in FPL, you do have to wait that extra hour or two after the games are finished. And, for example, if you've got a player playing at 3 o'clock and then there's an 8 p.m. game, you've got to wait 7 hours for the bonus to go on, basically, or 8 hours. I think fan team has got a really nice product here where they're just like... The points are on instantly. You know what you've got. Like... I don't like to talk about it too much, but obviously when I won last year...
Oh, here we go.
I knew within 5 minutes that I'd won.
Ding, 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 ding.
I knew within 5 minutes that I'd won, whereas the FPL guys have to sweat the bonus for like 2 hours after the game to see if they've won the game, you know what I mean? So it's like,
I know.
It does make a difference and it's a much better user experience to just have like the points on instantly and you know the points are on basically. So I quite like that, to be honest.
It was funny when because you know a lot of FPL is about trying to make the game really accessible for people, and that's why it's got so many people that play it. It's nice and simple, you know, goals and assists and then the bonus points, and but you know it's easy to pick up. But when Mark and I were doing the apprentice videos at the start of the season, they're bringing on players who'd never played the game before and showing them it, trying to explain the bonus point system. You know, it's like a kind of a game within a game, because they lose points for this and this and this, but they're not like actual points; they're like fake points as part of another system. But, you know, that is it's a complicated system, and like a few people have pointed out in the chat, Wingo and FF Scoped, the bonus points in Fan Team are replaced with just points for shots on target, appearance points. It's a lot more accessible, I think, than the bonus point system.
It's more transparent. They go on instantly, which is great, absolutely, as I've talked about. The auto subs are done instantly as well on fan team, which is really good as well. Because on FPL, that takes another hour after the bonus points have gone on. It's just like, it's like a never, like you have to almost wait till the next day to check your points on FPL, like if there's a late game on, which is, that's not a good user experience. But I think, like you say, the only bad thing is these non-round points on fan team. Like, I think I would prefer it if they were like in just multiples of 0.5 at least.
Yeah.
So you either had 12 and a half or 13, or you know what I mean, rather than 0.3, 0.2, whatever.
And it was like that, wasn't it? Was it like that last season?
Yeah, it was only the goalies who could get half points as well last season. So the goalies got half points per save, as we still have this year, like half a point for a save. Everyone else could only get round numbers of points last year. So I think, again, there's little things that both games can improve on, both FPL and fan team. But I very much like the lack of bonus points. I've always liked that since I started playing fan team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I play quite a few of these. You know, I'm playing Gaffer this season. I played Elite Serien and fan team. And I do like the fact that all the games are just a little bit different, a little bit, you know, thingy. And I think fan team have got it really good, because it is really, really simple to play. And that is the key thing with it, is that I think they needed to make it as simple as possible for people who, you know, are looking for an alternative to FPL to try and win some money. And I think they've got a really good game. Yeah, I'm not just saying that. I think the game itself works really well.
I like that you can have multiple entries as well. I know this is something we talked about earlier in the season, but being able to sort of just tweak your team in like a few different ways. Like you say, if you're unsure on a transfer, you can get Silver in one team, Foden in the other. And you sort of know that one of them might pay off and one of them might not, but that means you'll at least have one good team. You know what I mean? So like, I really like that aspect of it as well, that it's sort of encouraged to have like a few teams if you're willing to pay for them. Whereas on FPL, that's very much like a no-go. You're not allowed to do that. So I like that aspect of it as well, actually.
Yep, absolutely. Nuker Adams, what is Gaffer? Come on, Nuker Adams. You've got to know what Gaffer is. Gaffer is like a kind of fan-made fantasy game for the Championship. And they've also done one for Championship Manager as well, which a lot of people will be familiar with, which I played. They've also got a Super League one as well, which is like you can pick players from kind of all around the different leagues and around the world, and they earn points as well. Yeah, check it out. It's amazing what the guys do. You know, this, it all started on kind of spreadsheets and, you know, kind of a homage to wanting to do things a bit different. And now there's a site and thousands of people that play it. So anyone's interested in that kind of thing, definitely check that out. Just type in Gaffer. I think it's gaffer.io to have a look at it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, let's have a quick look at your team, how it's set up for next week, Josh. It's pretty similar to this week, to be honest. De Gea and Maguire, Trent, Cancelo, Reguilon, Son, Jota, Bowen, Kane, Tony and Ronaldo. And like you said, Saka on the bench with Cucurella, Sanchez, the backup goalkeeper, and poor Rico Henry, who's injured at the moment. So what are you thinking? You're thinking Saka to Madison?
Yep, I think so. I'm lucky not to have James. Obviously, I think a lot of people are going to have the James problem to deal with this week. So again... Yep. It's sort of a luxury move to be able to get Madison. I've actually got two free transfers, as I said. So I think I might just do the Saka to Madison and roll the other one, I think. I'm sort of happy with the 11 and I can probably have Tony as first sub as well. So I've probably got a decent 12, really. I'm also happy to have Sanchez reserve goalkeeper because there's rumours De Gea might not play tonight, isn't there? So I've got 4 points to come on, hopefully, even if he doesn't play, which is a really nice thing to have as well.
It'd be good for me in fan team if he doesn't play, because I haven't got him, but in FPL I put him in for a hit, so I could really use him to start.
Yeah, like a mixed results for you. Yeah. Like I said, I'm just happy to have the reserve goalkeeper while all this turmoil is going on with the fixtures. I think it's just wise to sort of have have a reserve in every position if you can, and that includes the goalkeeper. What do you think, mate? Do you think it's just Saka to Madison? Does that make sense?
It looks a strong. I mean, I don't like the double United defence, if I'm being honest. I just don't trust them to keep clean sheets. Maguire, I mean, you've got Maguire on your side. I think I don't know what's happened to him this season. He's always got some stick, and a lot of it hasn't really been justified. And obviously had a really strong Euros tournament, but the games I've watched him this season, he looks just so off it, like so slow, making mistakes. We all thought the partnership with Varane was going to be really strong. Okay, Varane's been injured, but there doesn't seem to be any real communication or chemistry or between them. They look, at the moment, they just look like two blokes that have been put together and told to try and work out how to defend. I mean, without De Gea, it's scary to think how many goals they would have conceded this season.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's the main reason why I've got De Gea. Let's not lie about it. He's been making save after save after save. I think he got 8 on Monday against Newcastle, which is just like, that never happens, does it? Like, you never see David De Gea getting 8 saves, like in seasons past kind of thing, against Newcastle. I mean...
I know.
I mean, yeah. And Wing in the chat just said, Josh, do you want to get James Ward-Prowse in by any chance? And I'm instead of Madison, I think I just have to go Madison this time. I feel like I've missed a lot of James Ward-Prowse points in the last 2 weeks, and Don't get me wrong, it's really hurt me, but I think Madison's a better pick for the next few weeks, definitely. And then maybe if Ward-Prowse has some doubles coming up, then I might have to go back. I don't think I'll be able to resist. But until that point, I think Madison's the better pick for me. And even Tielemans, as we talked about as well.
Mm. Yep. Great. Let's take a quick look at my team. I've got Ramsdale coming back for his one-pointer against Man City, if that. Trent, Rudiger, Cancelo, Son, Foden, Jota, Bowen, Dennis, Ronaldo and Lacazette. And then my bench, I mean, I've got a few issues. I've got Foster, James, Mankio and Saka. So obviously I've got the triple Arsenal, Ramsdale, Lacazette and Saka. Not really ideal. I've got two free transfers. I'll definitely be getting one of Tielemans or Madison in. I probably need to address the Dennis issue as well, if he's going to be off. I think he will play the Tottenham game and then I think he's off after that. Although Ranieri said that they've got the email late and he might not even go. I cannot see that happening. That would be... I don't even know why he's brought that up, Ranieri. It's a weird thing to say, isn't it?
I'm just feeling sorry for us Josh King owners again, because we're just going to get burnt again if Dennis ends up staying, I think, because I think he'll just keep scoring goals for fun by the looks of it. But
I don't know. I don't know if he would. I think he would go absolutely potty if he wasn't allowed to go to AFCON. He already wasn't in the squad and he got called up and there was, question marks around that because of an email, because of an admin error.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely awful if they stopped him from going, by the way. Let's not lie about that. But interestingly, I think Dennis did say his loyalties lie with Watford. He said something like that. So he just said he would get on with it, I think, if he wasn't allowed to go. But I don't see it happening. I think common sense will prevail and he'll obviously go to the tournament. But it's like you say, it's just a weird thing for Ranieri to bring up, isn't it, really? Like, why would he not just allow that to happen behind closed doors and just sort itself out, you know what I mean? Rather than telling everyone.
I just don't know what he gains from being like that. I thought it was really strange. Anyway, I've got two free transfers. So I'm probably going to do James to Reguilon and then Saka to Madison. But then it's a bit like, who do I bench? I'd bench Rudiger probably against Liverpool. So I'd have Trent, Rudiger, Cancelo, Son, Foden, Jota, Bowen. Wait, hang on, I've messed this up.
You just said James instead of Reguilon, that's all. Rudiger instead of Reguilon, that's all. So you'd have Trent, Reguilon, Cancelo, and then the same as before.
Thank you, Josh. This is why you're here. Help me out with things like that. So I think that's pretty strong if I did that. So that's probably what I will do. Okay, let's talk about this new thing then that we haven't ever talked about on these streams, and that is the showdowns. So I did my first showdown. Well, I've done a couple of showdowns before. I did one for the Champions League final, I think. But I think yesterday was the first time I ever really... I put in a couple of teams, like four or five teams, different, had some Brentford teams, had some City teams, went all out on defence on one, all out on attack on the other. What's your kind of strategy with this? It does feel like you... If you are going to enter one team into this, you need to get real lucky, right? I think you need to go with a couple of different permutations. How do you tend to play it?
I mean, it's different for everybody. I mean, if you're willing to just be like, okay, I'm going to put my one team in and I'm probably going to lose, but if I don't, then that'll be amazing. Like, I'll get a massive return on my money. That's absolutely fine. I mean, my gut feeling tonight especially, I mean, I've looked at the sort of... they're called the bonus points, aren't they? They're known as because some players get plus 1.3 and some get minus.
Yeah, do you want to explain that a bit for anyone who's kind of wondering?
So it's just like a handicap for each player, basically. So if fan team think Man City are going to beat Brentford in last night's case, then all the Man City players will be handicapped with sort of minus 1.5 points, minus 2 points, something like that. So they will effectively start the game 4 points less than all the Brentford players, who will be on plus 2 or plus 1.5 or whatever. So picking Foden over Tony, for example, last night was a difference of you're on minus 3 points from the start, basically, versus a Tony owner in just that one position. So picking the players from the really cheap teams, i.e. the underdogs, can be quite fruitful. I mean, especially in the Leicester case, when Leicester beat Liverpool, you had to have five Leicester players. Otherwise, you could not win that showdown. It was impossible kind of thing. So you basically, if you're backing, if you're picking all Burnley players tonight, you're basically backing for a shock result that Burnley will win or draw 1-1 with sort of no decent goal scorers or whatever. So it's an it's a really interesting new game, I think, that they've brought out this season, I think.
Well, the example is Ronaldo's got the biggest handicap on this showdown, -2.4. If we look at Burnley, you've got... who's actually going to play? That's someone like Jack Cork, for example, 1.52. You know, so he automatically is, yeah, as you said, like 3 points ahead of Ronaldo, but you'd still back Ronaldo to outscore Jack Cork by 3 points. So it's about kind of trying to work it out. I mean, looking at the Burnley players, I mean, Chris Wood's like 0.8, Westwood's 0.8. These aren't like huge, like positive handicaps. They're, I think, yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at this and thinking, I don't think I'm going to get it, but I'm not going to do a Burnley team.
Yeah, I think I made one Burnley team earlier with like, but all the players had minimum plus 1.2 bonus points advantage and stuff like to begin with. The other thing to consider is the captaincy. So when you captain Ronaldo, for example, at -2.4, his bonus goes to -4.8. So it actually doubles with the captaincy. So while you'll get double points, you also get double handicap. So like it's another thing, like can you get away with finding a Nick Pope captain and just hope he makes lots of saves, for example, and then you'll get even more bonus points as well as his actual points that he's accruing. So it's such a fascinating game. And I'm like, I haven't solved it yet by any means, but I'm starting to like pick up some strategies, I think, for sure.
Mm. Yeah. Well, so do you tend to go for all in one team then, or do you ever do like a bit of a mix?
You can definitely do a mix. So if you think both teams will score in the game, it's actually definitely advised to do a mix. So I had a couple of teams last night with all Brighton and Chelsea attackers, and I just hoped it was 2-2 or something, for example. And in the end, it was a both teams to score, but it wasn't quite enough goals for me to win kind of thing. But it definitely makes sense. In a 1-1, you definitely want probably minimum two of the underdog team, maybe even three, just because of the way the bonus work. If you're predicting a 2-2, you can sort of just pick who's going to be the goal scorers and try and hit all the goals, you know what I mean, and the assists, obviously. So there's definitely interesting ways to play. But I just think Burnley can sometimes do these weird results to the big team. So I would not be shocked at all tonight if Burnley won 1-0, honestly. Like, I think it would be a surprise result. But it will happen a couple of times a season where they just get a really weird result away at like a big team. Or so I'm thinking just back Burnley and hope that they win, and then you'll get all the bonus points and all the points as well, hopefully. So with Burnley, though, I would definitely think it's going to be a 1-0, if anything. So I'd go triple defence, I think, like including Nick Pope. So just because they've got quite high bonus points, the defenders have as well. So it's like you're at an advantage from the start. And then if they do happen to clean sheet, you're just going to hit everything, basically. You're going to get all the points. So.
Yep. There is a safety net enabled, but also the deadline runs right up to the start of the game, doesn't it? So you shouldn't need the safety net unless you forget. And then, yeah, that's probably not ideal. The other thing, is there a stacking penalty on defenders in this? Oh, FF Scope has just asked the same question as well. Yeah,
there is, but it's obviously almost cancelled out by the bonus points in the Burnley defenders case. In the Man United defenders case, you're losing the bonus points and you're also losing the stacking penalty. So it can get quite severe, like to sort of triple up on Man United defence, for example. But I think with Burnley, you can just about get away with it with the way the points are given out on the bonus points.
Because you could, in theory, go five at a bat. You get the United goalkeeper and then the four playing defenders. But I think I had a couple of teams like that with City yesterday. But the stacking bonus would just cripple you.
Obliterates all your points. So you got the stacking bonus, which would be if you picked five defenders from Man City, that would be -10 stacking bonus, and you'd also lose like -10 in just bonus points from picking expensive City defenders. So
yeah
you're just like you're on -20 from the start. It's like taking five hits on FPL, basically.
Yeah, it's like the equivalent. Like that, things like that are where you need to pay attention to this stuff, because it can be tempting to think, you know, United are going to keep a clean sheet against Burnley. Why wouldn't I just get five defenders in and stick the captaincy on De Gea if he plays and rock with it? But it won't work because, like you say, there's going to be too many things that punish you.
And obviously, I just want to say, like, only defenders get the stacking penalty. So it might be a good idea if you think Man United are going to win 2-0 to pick the goalie and one defender, because then the stack's not, that you only lose -1 for the stack on that, which is okay. And then pick three midfielders, maybe, who will all get 1 point for a clean sheet. they don't lose the stacking penalty. So you sort of accumulate an extra clean sheet with your midfielders, but you also like don't get heavily stacked against with the stacking penalty. So yeah, that's maybe one way to work around this.
I think it's tough to pick a team for this United Burnley match. I mean, Ronaldo's the obvious one to put in, and he's going to be, you know, captain, I imagine, for a lot of people. But then looking at someone else, I mean, I don't trust any of their midfielders at all. So then I'm looking at Burnley midfielders and thinking, well, Cornet's a doubt. If he starts, it could be good. But then you're looking at like Westwood, McNeil, Goodmanson. I don't know. I don't really know how to pick a team for this one. I don't think it's going to be particularly high scoring. I don't back either team to keep a clean sheet. What do you do when you've got decisions like that to make?
As I say, if you think neither team keeps a clean sheet, I think it's... You can maybe get away with picking one goalkeeper just because the saves, they might get loads and loads of saves. So you could pick Pope maybe as a starting point in that sort of team. And then I would just go with midfielders and attackers because of the 90-minute bonus. So like, even if you pick the likes of a Jack Cork or Brownhill, I'm not sure which one of those is going to start, but one of those will definitely start. They'll sort of start on like 4 or 5 points off the bat just because you know they're going to play 90. They get like a bonus point of plus 1.2 or something like that at least. So like you're already on sort of 4 or 5 points for that one slot. And then if they get a miracle goal or an assist or something, then they've literally outscored probably all the Man United players. If it's a 1-1 or if it's a 2-1 to Burnley or something, they've probably beaten them already. So I do like the really cheap midfielders who play 90 minutes in these sorts of things. And I think Cucurella was an example of that last night. I think he got about 8 points or 9 points in the end last night, which outscored Lukaku and Mount, who scored goals. Like, and that was just because he got an assist and a bit of a bonus and played 90 minutes. So, yeah.
I mean, I've just made a team, but, and I've already put Pope, Cork and Westwood all in. And yeah, because I'm just looking at the United midfield. I'm just thinking, like Rashford, for example, starts on -2. I don't trust him to get anything in this match. I don't really want to pay 2 points to have him in my side, you know?
And then if he's unlikely to get 90 minutes, that's another point gone sort of thing. And then you need him to get like a goal and an assist, really, to even pay that back versus like a Jack Cork. It sounds crazy, but like it's just a different format that we need to get used to, I think, where the cheap midfielders can be the way to play it. I think it, especially if you think it's going to be a 1-1, like I say, or something like that, some sort of scoreline like that.
I'm genuinely about to pay money to have a team with Pope, Cork, Westwood, Ronaldo and Chris Wood. That is genuinely the team that I've put together that I think is the best chance of winning money in this. That is very depressing.
Yeah. For what it's worth, by the way, I think if you go for the Man United route where they're going to win 2-0 or something like that, I think you want the goalkeeper as either captain or vice-captain just because the saves will rack up. And also, if you're back in a 2-0, you basically need the clean sheet anyway, otherwise you won't cash anyway. So you want to sort of double up on that to try and get the extra points for when it does come in, you know what I mean? So a De Gea or Henderson captain, whichever one plays tonight, might be a really nice way to go if you fancy Man United to win 1-0 or 2-0.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you go for something like... what I'm putting together now, if you're going to go for a United win.
I think you have Dello because he's the cheapest defender for sure. Like he's got the least severe bonus handicap, sorry. I think he's -0.88 or something like that.
Maybe something like that. De Gea, Varane, Dello, Rashford, Ronaldo.
Seems good to me.
Captain on Ronaldo, then vice, like you say, on De Gea.
Yeah, I really like that. I think that's really similar to what I've put in, actually.
Yeah, that's probably the most sensible. Obviously, if De Gea is out, you change him for Henderson, but you also get the safe net anyway. But would the vice-captain go under Henderson? No.
You've got to be careful with the safety net on your captain and vice-captain. Yeah.
All good information. No, that's great. Really interesting. It's good. Like, genuinely, I'm learning along with probably everyone else that's watching this, because there's quite a few bits in there I didn't know. No, Josh, that's fantastic stuff. I think that's it for us. We've done 47 minutes. I think we call it there. Hopefully people have enjoyed this. Thanks for tuning in. 110 people watching, which is great for, you know, great that people are interested in fan team. And yeah, obviously, if you're interested, head over to the site. There's loads of different things you can take part in. Obviously, by this point, you all know it's gambling. Gamble aware. Don't, you know, gamble money you don't have, and don't, you know, risk money on things like this. But it's a bit of fun, and yeah, we enjoy it. But it's, I really like fan team. But as I said, gamble aware and gamble responsibly. Josh, thank you so much for joining me. I will see you again next week, I imagine. Not sure what we'll do. Hopefully, if there's a weekly monster, we'll do that. Oh, before that, I just want to mention Big Sam. How great is the Big Sam videos with him? Have you seen the one where he's like, if I'm going to pick one player, it's got to be Phil Foden in that side. He's got to be the first name in your team sheet in the second chance game. Fantastic.
I've been loving his stuff. Yeah, I think it's a great little bit of PR by Fan Team. I absolutely love it. I love his addition to the team, I think. Yeah.
Oh, if we can get him on a stream. If we can get him on a stream.
That's the ultimate. That's my ultimate dream, as to be honest. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Wingel asked if there's any second season tips. Not really. Well, we've done a video on the second season, so check out the YouTube channel and just go ahead to the Fan Team playlist, and there's a video on the second chance team. There isn't really too much more we can add to it at the moment because it's still a few weeks away. We'll do some more stuff closer to the time.
Yeah, as I say, I think it's really likely to start when all these doubles are happening. So yeah. My only tip would be pick loads of players who have double game weeks, basically, would be my tip at this point, but subject to change because the league is changing daily at the moment. So absolutely. We'll probably do something next week, I reckon, mate, because I think it starts next week. Like, I think it starts in 2 weeks, but it's only like two game weeks away because there's a week in between where there's no games. So I think we might have to start doing a bit of content on that soon, mate, to be honest as well.
There we go. Yeah, we will. Excellent. Right. Cheers, Josh. Thanks, everyone, for watching.